I don't know if you ever read Romans. Romans is supposed to be the most in-depth theology given in the New Testament. And therefore, actually, my phone is over there, yeah, David? No. The phone is here because I want to record myself. Because after I usually listen to myself after I preach. If you have been here for 19 years, you remember when I started preaching in this place. I was. Kathleen remembers that. Yes, Kathleen. So I have learned to speak slower, but still sometimes when I get excited, I go too fast. So I always record myself. So Romans is the most in-depth theological letter here in the New Testament. And I remember when once I said in my home group, I said, we have seen the passages, now we're going to see the theology behind baptism. And I remember Sarah went, oh no, theology. But theology is not hard. Theology is trying to read and understand how this applies to my life and to the life of the church. Yes, you can go way, way, way overhead with theology, but it doesn't have to be that way. You have to see, oh, so this is how God has restored my heart. One way of saying a theological thing is that in Ezekiel says that the Lord will change our hearts of stone into a heart of what? Of flesh. So how does that relate to my living? It means that before we come to Christ, we had a very hard heart. We didn't care about anybody else. We only care about ourselves. And you see, some people in families, they don't even care about their wives or their kids. They only care about their own interests, their own addictions. But when we come to Christ, it's like a new world is open up to us. That's why when you in certain circles, when there's these people who have addictions and do the wrong thing and spend their money and their time in the wrong things, when they come to Christ, they change. And then if they didn't spend time with their wife, now maybe the wife says, oh, you're spending too much time with me. Please get away. I don't know, husbands, if your wives ever tell you that. My wife is the type of wife that said, oh, I have to go and read or I have to do something. Why are you leaving me? And then I show her a video of two elderly people in the USA. They were like 80s or 90s, and they're walking like this. And somebody wanted to interview them. And the old man said, no, we don't want to buy. That's what he said. And then, no, I just want to ask you, what do you want to do? What's the thing that you want to do the most at this stage of life? And the lady said, spend as much time that we have together. And I said, and I showed that to my wife, and my wife just said, see, you have to spend more time with me. But it's true. So when we come to Christ, our heart stone is changed, and we see things differently. Our eyes are open. So chapter 12 of Romans is a series, it's a chapter that if you take 9, 10, and 11 out of the Bible, it reads very well coming from chapter 8. And chapter 8 talks about the Spirit, how the Spirit changes us, how the Spirit makes us new. We're a new creation, amen? The old creation is gone. Some friends on the internet where I see a lot of people who preach, oh, we're sinners, and yes, we are sinners. But we are sinners with a new heart and with a renewed mind through the Holy Spirit. If you keep telling people that they're sinners every Sunday, of course they're going to go out and act like sinners. But if you tell people you are a new creation, you have a new heart, I remember my grandfather, well, my wife's grandfather, but I used to call him my grandfather. He had a heart operation. He didn't have a different heart, but his heart became one of the bulbs, you know, that opens up and let the blood through. It was becoming very hard. It was becoming like plastic, so it wasn't opening up. So he started to get very tired. So he had a transplant, and they put a cow valve. And we used to make fun of him that, oh, now you have an animal heart. Your heart is like an animal. But he was renewed. He could walk. He could do the things that he was able to do before. So in a sense, he had a new heart. Same with us. The things that we couldn't do because we didn't see them as right, now we do them. So chapter 8, ends up with that we're a new creation. Then chapter 12, let's skip those three chapters and then jump to chapter 12. And it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to view in God's mercy, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Your bodies. Worship is not a thing of the mind. Some people say, oh, we have the right belief, so therefore we are right with God. No. If you have the right belief, then you have the right attitude, the right, how can I say this? The right way of conducting yourself. So, we have to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That is your true and proper worship. Your true and proper worship. Your rationale, the old version says. This has a rationale, the rationality of our worship. It's not only come and some people think we go, No. It's how we carry on with our lives, with our loved ones, and with those people who live outside our home. But this is a challenge because we're called not to conform to patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we don't get only a new heart, we also get a new mind. You see how God takes into account both the body and the mind. They have to be in sync. They have to be in sync. You cannot say, I'm a Christian and do things very unchristlike. You cannot say, I'm a Christian, yet I am for sin, certain sins that we know. And one of the sins that I like to say, because all of us, the church has always opposed this, is abortion, let's say. Can I be a Christian? Oh, yeah, but abortion is just... once somebody who's a Christian told me, but that's just a medical procedure. Well, it's a medical procedure that kills a new life inside a woman. The Bible says, that God creates us in the womb, in the Psalms, in the book of Psalms. It talks about that. So, you cannot be a Christian and support those kind of things. So we have to be transformed and renewed of our minds. So what you think has to go according to how you act. It cannot, they cannot be against that. It has to go the same. They have to be thinking. That's why those people who say, I feel like I'm somebody else in somebody else's. I'm somebody, but I have another kind of body, and I need this body. No, you have to bring those two together. And only the Holy Spirit can do that in our minds and in their minds. Because once we renew our minds, then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is. We're always asking, what's God's will in our mind, in our life? Yeah, and when we're before getting married, we always ask, is this God's will? And I always say this, God's will for everybody is well, for most people, I would say, because there's some people who never got married, but God's will for humanity is to get married, to have kids. But let's look beyond that. God's will also is to love and serve the Lord. Let's start with that. Because a lot of people say, so what's God's will in my life? Well, first is to love and serve the Lord. And from there, you can start discerning what God's will in your life. Let's say, I have glasses. I have glasses since I'm a little kid. I took off my glasses. I don't see anybody's face. I only see white, dark. I see blue, black, green Woolworths, I know because I saw it before. White. I see Chris because I saw him. Well, now I see everybody. Oh, wow, you're beautiful. It's God's will. When I was 10, I said, oh, Lord, I want to be an astronaut. And to be an astronaut at that time, in 1980s, you have to have good vision because you have to be a fighter pilot. Was God's will for me to be an astronaut? I don't think so. I didn't have the eyes to be that. So by renewing our mind, we are going to find out where we are, what's God's will for us. We're going to start narrowing down what we can do in our lives. I also like basketball. I know that there's some short people who can be good basketballers, but I'm not that tall. The NBA in the U.S., I wanted to be a basketball player too. I wanted to have good shoes. And now my son buys the shoes that I wanted to have when I was young, $200-$300 shoes. But no, I wasn't meant to be because I'm not that tall. So what's God's will on our lives? And you find out because God puts things along the way. One thing that I always say, the pastor who got me married, the pastor who performed the ceremony, he came, 7 days before doing the ceremony, and he said, I don't want you to get married. I said, why? Because Erica is not for you. It's not the will of the Lord that you marry Erica. And I went, I don't care. I don't care what you say. I know that this is what God wants for my life. And he said, okay, I'll give you 5 years. 5 years and you'll get divorced. That's what he said. I mean, some people have that nerves, to come and tell you. They think they have so much power, so much discernment, so much intuition. And what happened? She's still putting up with me 29 years after. Sadly, this guy got divorced a year and a half after he told me that. Yes. Well, he's going to listen to this maybe. God's will is not a mystery. We know the Word of God. We know what the Word of God requires of us. All we have to do is, I see it as a river. All you have to do is jump into the river and allow the river to carry you on. And in that river, there will be rapids. There will be some rocks. There will be some beautiful falls. But if you allow the river to carry you, the Lord will do His will in your life, in my life. So, we have to renew our minds. We have to let the Holy Spirit renew our minds. We have to know Scripture. Because how do we know God's will? Where is God's will? Here. So, if you know this, you know God's will. Young people here, I'm middle age now, like middle earth sometimes I feel. Lord of the Rings. I'm 50 now. When I was 10, 12 years old, I used to pray, Lord, rebuild me, please, what you want to do with my life. And I was fortunate enough that the Lord, when I was 14, somebody told me, you're going away very far, and you're going to be a pastor and a teacher. And I said, yes, since I was 14, I knew what I have to do. I knew. And then my dad, when I was 16, I called my dad, and I said, how are you, blah, blah, blah. And he said, I'm applying to be a refugee somewhere else because my dad, death squads came twice looking for him to kill him because he was a teacher at a university. So I said, do you want to come with me? Whereabouts? Sweden? No, I said, not Sweden, it's too cold. Let's go to Australia. And he applied to Australia, and he came through. So I came here as a refugee from the United States. I didn't pay anything. That's what that was. This lady told me, you are not going to pay anything. And over there, you're going to become a teacher and a pastor. And those things has come true. So I was lucky that since I was 14, I knew what I had to do. That's why when I proposed to my wife, see, now that I told you this part of my story, because I hadn't told you this. That's why when I proposed to my wife, besides I had never had a girlfriend, my mom thought I was, you know what, because I never had a girlfriend. She was always asking me, when are you going to get a girlfriend? Calm down, mom. So when I went to my wife and said, okay, I want to be a pastor, do you accept? I said to her, if you want to be my girlfriend, I want to be a pastor. Do you want to be my girlfriend then? And she said, yes. So she told me later, I didn't believe it. I thought you were kidding. So look for those things that the Lord has shown you that where he wants to take you. Because if you love the Lord is going to show you either through somebody, through scripture, what he wants to do. How I came to the church. How I came to the church. I had a dream. We're looking for a church. Our church had broken up. Those who remember, this is 20 years ago almost. And I came from the Lutheran church hall down at Point Cook. So my church had broken down. And I was praying, Lord, where do I go? Where do I go? And I had a dream. And I had a dream. I was right in front of the sea. So we went to Newport Baptist first. And I said, I don't like it. So we came back and we came through here. And then when I turned here and I saw that the sea, it was just like my dream. So I said to, I was walking with this friend, this is it, like Darth Vader, you know. This is it. This is it. This is where the Lord showed me in my dream. So the Lord still speaks to us. That's what I want to encourage you today. The Lord speaks to you to scripture. And actually, the Bible says that all people will have dreams. When I was, 20-something, I was old enough. When I came to church 20 years ago, I was 30 years old. Yeah, 30 years old. So I was old. But the Bible says that your sons and daughters will speak in new tongues, and your old people will have dreams. And I believe what this says. So I had a dream, and the Lord showed me that I have to come to this church. And that's why I came to the church, through a dream, because I had renewed my mind. I'm always trying. I don't want to pretend that I have renewed my mind totally. My wife knows that I haven't renewed my mind totally. She's the one closest to me. But I try. I try to allow the Holy Spirit to talk to me. But then comes the next part of this chapter. I have to be quick. For by grace given to me, giving me, I say to every one of you, this is Paul talking to Altona of the church, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. This is something else that I have learned. This sounds like a mea culpa sermon, but I've always said, why aren't you so spiritual like me? I'm not that spiritual. And God has allowed people to be spiritual according to his will, not mine. Not my will. It took me a long time to learn this. I have to walk according to whoever else is walking. And I have to learn this the hard way, by people getting mad at me, by people thinking I was conceited, that I thought I was more spiritual. I had to learn the hard way. Not everybody walks the same way, and the Lord doesn't demand you to walk the same way. Remember where it says that in the field, it gives, when they do the sowing, they do 100%, 60%, 30%. Not everybody's going to give 100%. Why? Because the Lord doesn't ask you sometimes 100%. We always say the Lord wants 100% of us. Yes, but the Lord knows our limitations. The Lord knows our temptations. The Lord knows when we fall. Yes, what I told you about being an astronaut. The Lord knows I cannot be an astronaut. The Lord knows I cannot be in a sprint. When we were driving here, I saw somebody running. And I said, I should run because I don't want this part. But I remember that I have an issue with running. I have two big bones coming out of my feet. And if I run 2 minutes, I know I feel my wife is worse. She has double the size. So there's some things that you cannot do. So I said, oh, I have to go to the gym. Maybe they'll tell me. I mean, the doctor has told me that they can tell me how to do exercise. But running is out of the question now. Not because I have bad bones. It's because I have extra bones. So we have to work with what we have. And Marie has to go through a lot of issues with music. Now we sang beautifully. We sang beautifully, didn't we? You're a music teacher, no one? Of course. But we sang beautifully. We sang our voices. Some of you, that's why you stay behind, because you want to give your gift. You want to practice. So each one of us, we have to act and think of ourselves according with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. I'm happy to preach. I like to preach. But I would like other people also to come forward and say, when Pastor Andrew says, I'm going to be sick for 3 weeks. Who can preach? I want to see like 5 people here. Yes, yes, I will. Yeah, you run. Growing up, I was in a 2,500 people church, and we used to open, because I used to be the sound system guy. I used to be what Ray does. I used to be that, so I was there before, and when we used to open the church, some people would run to the front just to get the first seats, because they wanted to be at the front of the church. They wanted to praise the Lord with the band. Not everybody has the same function. Some of us know how to preach. I learned how to preach. I went to seminary. You the congregation paid for it too. You guys paid for me for some years to go to seminary. Some of you also have the eagerness. Do you have the passion to share the word of God? If you have, ask. Talk to the pastor, talk to me, talk to one of the deacons. Brother, I want to, or to the secretary over there, sister, I want to have something from the Lord too. I want to tell the congregation. Can you give me a chance? Test yourself. I want to encourage you. This is not only for people who go to seminary, who learn Greek and Hebrew like me. And the Lord can use one of you even better than me. Way, way better than me. With no accent. Way better than me. I was telling Bon before I said, no, you're dressed better than me today, so you should be preaching. Because I want to encourage you. It doesn't matter how young. The first time I preached, I was 13. I was 13 the first time I preached, and I was like, that I wanted to share the word with my friends. If the Lord has done something great in your life, don't you want to come and say, the Lord has done this. The Lord healed me. The Lord changed my heart. And people, and the Lord changes hearts. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body. Each member belongs to all the others. That's why when somebody leaves the church, it hurts. When somebody leaves the church, it hurts. Either they leave because they have to move for work, or because they have to move to heaven, or they move somewhere else, as with David and his family. It hurts. Do you hurt when somebody doesn't come anymore? Do you call them when they don't come? I call them, I say, why are you not coming anymore? Oh, this and that. I said, okay. Sometimes they come back, sometimes they don't. But it has to hurt us because we are one body, remember? We don't only see each other on Sundays or communicate with each other on Sundays. Sometimes I send text to Liam or to Stanley. Sometimes I comment on Michael's Facebook. I also tell him when he's on and about, out and about, he's doing things, and I like to keep on tag. So sometimes I tag Keith and so others from the church, the things I do, because I want you guys to know what I'm doing, because sometimes I do things that I want you to be edified by it too. We have different gifts, verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Listen, if your gift is prophesizing, this is this has been interpreted. I just want to mention this. This has been interpreted as preaching, prophesizing. So if you have that gift of preaching, use it. Don't keep it to yourself. If anybody at work or at home tells you, you do a great job when you explain something, when you talk about something, use it. Bring it here. Don't keep it over there. The Lord will use you. And it does. And let me tell you from this pulpit, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. If you want to come and preach here, we have women preaching from this pulpit, so we have no issues with that. Because the Lord also uses everybody. He doesn't have preferences. So, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy according with your faith. So, we don't expect you to come here and be a Billy Graham. Yeah. I mean, we don't expect you to be a great preacher. But we appreciate what you're doing because you want to edify the body. That's what you want. That's what we want. I remember the first time my son played. And he was like reluctant to do it because, oh, what if I do something wrong? David, you were born into this church. And I said, people are not going to care. People are happy just to see you playing. Isn't it true? We are happy to see people playing and singing because we learn along the way. We learn along the way. The first time I played the piano, I was a mess, and I'm still a mess. Sometimes I'm ashamed when Sister Eliana and Raquel hear me because I know that they're picking up everything I'm doing wrong. But I want to help. Please put up with me. I'm learning. So if it is serving, then serve somewhere in the church. Serve somewhere here. We need service all the time. Somebody to serve in the kitchen. Somebody to serve anywhere. You ask, how can I serve? I remember when, let me give you, I'm giving very a lot of examples. When the Candidos came in, they had gifts of music and singing. So they're serving there. When Liam came in, we asked him, well, what do you do? I'm an accountant, so we right away, we put him as our treasurer. If you bring something, expertise here, share it with us. Share it with us. We need it. Don't keep it. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. Those of you who have home groups, teach, if it is to encourage, then give encouragement. This is a gift, encouragement. Imagine giving encouragement to someone who you see at church who's down, who just comes to church, is just quiet, and all you have to do is make a couple steps. Hey, how are you? How are you doing? What's happening? What's going on? How are you? There are only 5 or 10 words you have to say to that person to open up, and you can encourage them. Because I don't want anybody to come to church and then get out of church. Nobody talked to me. Nobody cares. Because we had that before. People have told us that before in the church. Oh, I came bad and nobody talked to me. We are family. Once you go through that door, you're part of us. Amen. We want to own you as one of us. If it is giving, then give generously. This church has been blessed because we are over budget. Yes, yes, treasurer. Are we over budget? Oh. by faith, we're over budget this year too. But last year, we were over budget, yeah? Yes. So, this church is a generous church. Amen. So you have this gift. See, you're practicing the gift of to be generous. So let you go. If it is to lead, do it diligently. Those who lead here. Those of us who lead the service, we know what to do, how to pick up songs, who to contact, how to liaise with the music team of that week. That's why we have the focus, so you know what to do. I remember the first time David asked to lead, he approached us. Hey, how is it to lead? And then I said, okay, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this, do a list, an order of service. And David said, I thought you guys just stood up there and did it. Because it looks so natural. No, it's not. We have to learn. But then you learn and you do it diligently. You do it well. So when you come here, all of you who are there, you know what's going to happen. You just don't think. You just carry on. And you're blessed by what we do at the front. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Do it cheerfully. Show mercy. Nikki is visiting us. She works with people, with people who are deaf. She has that gift. She learned that language, and that takes a lot of patience. And sometimes, we are a church, we have to take a lot of patience too. Sometimes our ministries here within the church don't work the way we want them to work. People don't show up, or we don't have enough material. And we may feel down. But then that's when you need a dose of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill me up, please. I need a dose of the Holy Spirit so I can continue this. And going back to Anne-Marie, many times she had told us, she came to the front, she cried once and she said, oh, I'm feeling bad because I don't have anybody to help us. And now look. Now look, continue on. When you believe that the Lord has called you for something, continue on. And finally, and this is the last part of the sermon. I have to be quick because I have half an hour now. I could just stop with this. Verse 9. Love must be sincere. Then you can fake love? Yes, you can. You can fake love. Love must be sincere. And one thing that I was waiting for my family to get on the car, and I was reading again the text. And my family knows when I'm excited and I find something that I had never seen in the text or I have never read in a book. I said, after Paul talks about the gifts of the Spirit, in this passage, he does the same thing that he does in Corinthians. After chapter 12 that we'll be looking at next week, he goes on to chapter 13, which is a chapter of And after talking about the gifts, what does the first thing he says? Love must be sincere. So he does the same thing. He does the same thing here. And that really struck me. And I said, oh, wow, this is, and I was telling Maria, oh, look, look. I've never seen this before. I've never seen it before, and I want to go back, and I want to go and check my commentaries, because I read something else when to prepare, but then I say, I never seen this. So love must be sincere. Brothers and sisters, don't fake love in the church. Let me ask you, don't fake your love to one another. Don't be politically correct. Do it from your heart. Do it from the heart. Hate what is evil. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. We devote to one another. I feel bad that I forgot about Tim. Tim told me that he was going to get an operation in his eye, and I forgot. Now, thank God, I'm going to have to call him. But yes, show devotion to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Sometimes I still have this thing with some of you elderly people that I go like this. And I don't know if you noticed, but because that's the way I was taught to give honor to the other people. I have to bow. And we have to give honor to one another. It doesn't matter what age. It doesn't matter what position in the church. All of us receive honor. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. See, spiritual fervor on fire. Serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. But the brothers don't take account of it. I do this, but people don't even care. No, serve the Lord. Keep your spiritual zeal. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Oh, but inviting people to my home means that I have to clean. I have to. But we have to practice hospitality to one another. Bless those who persecute you. We're talking about Roman times, remember? Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. And this is an issue today. I want to say this in front of you. Some in American Christianity are saying that being out in my mind, this word that says that that you feel what you feel with empathy. Yes, they call it a sin, the sin of empathy. Some evangelicals are preaching about that in the U.S. The sin of empathy. Well, the Bible says that we should, and we always say about it. There's one thing the editor of Christianity Today, he was interviewed this week, and he has received many letters from many pastors saying that when they preach, turn the other cheek. He gets a lot of people from congregations come and complain. Why? And the pastor said, because Jesus said to turn the other cheek. That's weak. That doesn't apply to us anymore. That's how they are trying to change the gospel. And you know, this is for you to be aware, because this was big news in Christian circles this week about that. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Oh, this is hard. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate. This is very important. Be willing to associate with people of low position. In some churches, the musicians, because I play also the piano, we don't associate with the lower caste. The musicians, we are the musicians, and you are the lower caste. And that's something that we have to fight against. Not only musicians, but whoever thinks is better than anybody at church, we have to say no. You have to associate with everybody, and also us, a church. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. if it's possible, because some people don't want to live in peace with you, if it's possible, as long as you have peace, it's good. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay. And I want to finish with this. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When you do good things to people who hate you, when you do good things to people that don't like you, they don't understand. They get confused. Why are you so good to me? If I hate you, if I want you to be dead. Think of a war. Because we are compelled by Jesus to love our enemies, to pray for them. Because remember, they have not renewed their minds. We have. We have that advantage. We have that advantage of seeing farther than them. Because not because we're smarter, not because we're wiser, but because God changed our heart and He changed our mind. Brothers and sisters, chapter 12 is very important for me because it showed me that I need to continue renew my mind. I need to see what other gifts I may have. Now I'm entering old age. I'm over 50. And I'm finding out that people who, like Heda here and other people, even Kathleen, Mayula, all the advice that you have given me, all the times that you have told me to do this or that, I'm finding out that I'm turning out to be the same now. So I have another gift to other people now. Give advice. Not because I'm wise, but because I have learned to listen to others, and others have the patience with me. I have put up with me. So let's act like one body. Let's see what gifts you have and offer them to the church. Don't be afraid. We love you. If you do wrong in the drums or in the piano, I do it every month, so don't worry. But if you want to offer something to the Lord and to His people, I encourage you to do it. And I encourage you to live and do not pretend to love, but love genuinely one another. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you because through the new covenant, you have given us a new heart. You took out the heart of stone and gave us a heart of flesh. And not only that, you gave us your Holy Spirit to renew us, to renew our minds, to focus on the things that you want in our lives, not on the things that we want. Let us be a blessing to our brothers and sisters here in the church, at home, at work, wherever we are, that people may know us as people who are cheerful, who bring hope, and who know Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen.